Welcome to the Slasher Sanitarium. I am your host, Troy. It is Halloween, your favorite time of year for everyone in my household. And because of that, I decided to talk about a movie that became part of a tradition in our family and watching on Halloween, although we were not able to this year. It's a 2007 cult classic, Trick or Treat. Before we get into that, though, the Slasher Sanitarium is brought to you by the Questionable Endeavor Network. Visit questendnetwork.com for more information. Email the show at theslashersanitarium@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @SlasherPodcast or like our Facebook page. Please visit patreon.com/slasherpodcast to support and keep the Slasher Sanitarium alive. And if you wish to sponsor the Slasher Sanitarium, please head over to advertisecast.com/824 or visit our website slashersanitarium.weebly.com. So, a movie that is very near and dear to my heart, which is why I'm going to do it, talk about it, talk about how much I love it, because I had to sit through a bunch of fucking a whole shit ton of Final Destination movies, and I've got one more to do, which could very well kill me. So I decided I'm going to have a little fun today and actually talk about a movie I like. The movie opens with a 1950s trick-or-treating safety video that then cuts to a lit jack-o'-lantern. Also, if you are playing at home, take a shot every time I say the word jack-o'-lantern, because there's a shit ton of them in this movie. Someone almost gets killed as a car comes flying towards them, hits the brakes, and then peels off. M, dressed in a robot costume, and Henry, dressed like a knight, make it home. Emily says one of the worst lines of the movie, "I'm lit, you're lit, and this little guy's night is over." And she blows out a jack-o'-lantern, which of course is against Halloween tradition. You are not supposed to blow out your jack-o'-lanterns until after midnight, when it is no longer Halloween. We see that somebody is watching from across the street, someone with a mask over their head, and they start to walk towards the house. Henry checks out Emily's ass, and so does the camera, and he obviously wants some of that booty. Emily breaks down and tells Henry to put on the tape. So they're gonna watch some porno, I guess, together, as a family should do. Henry puts in a tape marked Nature Special as Emily starts to clean up the decorations outside. Now, these two do not have kids. Why do they feel the need to label their porno as Nature Special? Is somebody going through their tapes? You can hide that easily, and nobody's gonna find it. Some kids are running as Emily sees someone in a white mask staring at her, but turns out it's just a kid zoning out as a bunch of kids pull up and he gets inside. She pulls down a bunch of sheets off of scarecrows, so I guess she kind of made ghosts. Her decorations are a little bit lacking. For somebody who like doesn't follow the traditions of Halloween and not blowing out your jack-o'-lanterns, she sure does a lot to decorate her lawn. She pulls down another sheet and something jumps out and attacks her. Cut over to Henry, who is still watching porn. And we get a shot of some actual porn, which I thought was kind of interesting. Emily is getting mauled, and we see her get cut by a pumpkin lollipop fashioned into a weapon. Yes, that is correct. This movie has somebody get killed by a pumpkin lollipop that is bitten into a sharp crescent. That's all you need to know about this movie. Go and watch it. Please, go and watch this movie, because it is a really good movie. But make sure you know that there are some silly moments to it. Henry wakes up, and the tape is over. He walks outside, and all of the scarecrows now have their sheets back up. One of the scarecrows lights up, and Henry kind of sees an arm hanging there, but we saw earlier that there were some fake arms. Henry pulls a sheet off, and we clearly then see that the arm hanging is actually Emily's real arm, and we see that Emily's head is now mounted up on top of the, we'll call it a cross, for lack of a better term, and now has the sucker stuck in her mouth, completely horizontal. So it's a more comical death, but not a bad one to start to set the mood for this. The opening credits are mocked up to look like a comic book, which I really enjoy, and it really kind of lets you know, like, don't get so caught up with how this movie is going to go. You know, this is a movie just to have fun with. And it's surprisingly a very good movie, but we're going to get to that. There are a few different world-building elements into the intro, as well as some foreshadowing to the movie. Moreover, we see that we name our little guy Sam, and obviously named after Samhain, the pagan word for Halloween before it was kind of adopted into what it is now. So, Sam, if you haven't watched the movie, which, like I said, I encourage you to do, is a little kid with a kind of oversized head with a burlap sack over it, with two button eyes, and a kind of shabby orange jumpsuit that he wears around his body there, and some nice fingerless gloves. We now go to the kid from Bad Santa dragging a sack of candy on the ground. He passes Dylan Baker on the street, and we get a message saying earlier, as we cut to another story, and this one starts with the parade. There is a parade going through town, and we have a newscaster talking about the fact that it's Halloween, and then we see that there are a bunch of people shopping for Halloween costumes on Halloween. That's poor planning. A kid is watching some women change in the dressing rooms, which I don't blame them, because we see a bunch of shots of cleavage and legs and clothing getting put on. The three women come out in slutty Halloween costumes, but Lori, played by Anna Paquin, refuses to come out. She is upset because her tits keep popping out. Now, this outfit that she is dressed in doesn't seem like that would be an issue, because it seems a little bit more covered up than her three friends. But she comes out dressed like Little Red Riding Hood. And I always had a question about Red Riding Hood. Is her name Red? Is her last name Hood? Or is that just like a codename name that she has? I never really quite got that. Is her name Little? Because that's part of her title too. I don't know. Someone should message me about that and let me know what you think. The cashier makes a D-cup joke, and the lead blonde girl invites them to meet them at Sheep's Meadow. We cut to Thurman Merman knocking over pumpkins like a shithead, and we see he's got about three or four bags of candy. He walks up and starts to empty Dylan Baker's candy dish into his bag. Baker walks up and calls out Charlie for his diabetes. Cut back to the girls, and Lori is called a 22-year-old virgin. A black girl and maybe Spanish girl? I don't know. You know me. I'm not good with names. Go up to two dudes who are loading equipment, and they say that they need dates because they have a special party later. So, this seems really cliche. The whole, like, they're going to try to get their virgin friend some dick. It's usually the other way around, where it's usually men trying to get their virgin friend to lose his virginity. The twist in this one, though, is great, and I'm going to leave it until we get to it, actually, in the story. Steven, which is Dylan Baker's character, gives Charlie a candy bar. He starts to tell him about what Halloween really means while he cuts up a pumpkin. And Charlie starts to cough. Steven asks him if he's okay. Charlie then projectile vomits all over the stairs in a really fucking gross moment in this movie. Steven tells him another tradition is that you always check your candy. Charlie throws up even more and then falls over onto Steven's lap as Steven opens a sucker. At this point, I like to always remind everybody that there has only ever been one case of somebody dying because of poison or razor blades in their Halloween candy, and it was a parent trying to kill their own kid. So that whole like thing about people putting, I mean, could it happen? Sure, but will it have, but has it happened? No, not really. So that's a huge fucking myth. And it also might be a myth perpetuated by parents so that they could eat their kid's candy. But if you're like me, you just eat their candy in front of their face. Anyway, Steven drags Charlie inside and gets puked on even more. Again, this is a very ballsy move that he does here because Krieg, his neighbor, is right next door. He knows he's right next door. And as soon as he gets Charlie inside, some trick-or-treaters hit the doorbell. So at any point in time, anyone could have seen this kid throw up all of the steps, which these kids had to have just walked through, as well as Charlie getting drug inside. So Steven opens the door with blood all over the corner of his shirt, and the kids scream at him. And then they kind of laugh it off, and then the kids ask for Principal Wilkins' jack-o'-lantern. And the pirate kid at the door seems kind of unsure, We will later find out that this is Macy, Sarah, and Chip, who will be important in a little bit. But the kids leave, but Sam is right behind them on the doorstep. And Wilkins offers him some candy. He takes it and runs off. Now, one of the biggest kind of mysteries about this movie is, first of all, what the hell Sam is. But second of all, like, what his motivations are and what his rules seem to be. Because, so we've seen that the first couple, Emily breaks a Halloween tradition by blowing out a jack-o'-lantern and gets killed because of it. And Sam does not go after Henry because Henry seemed to actually tell her, like, don't do it, and didn't really seem to break any other things. So obviously that's a big one. But then, you know, you kind of have a question of, you've got Krieg here, or you've got Wilkins, and Wilkins is straight up killing this kid. But I suppose he does have a bunch of jack-o'-lanterns, and he is giving out candy and does give Sam candy. So most likely the reason why Sam doesn't try to kill him right here, even though Wilkins is a murderer. Also, there is kind of a question on if Sam is totally okay with murder and if that is also a Halloween tradition. But more on that later. Wilkins grabs a butcher knife, and we see that he has already dug a grave in his backyard, and already has one body in it. So, yes, he has already killed another child. Now, I don't know if this other child did anything as egregious as the stuff that Charlie was doing, because if Stephen wasn't going to get to Charlie, I would assume that Sam was going to get to him, because he was knocking over pumpkins, he was stealing candy from kids, he's being a general asshole. So Wilkins is working on getting the body into it when suddenly his kid yells, "Daddy, I'm back from trick-or-treating." Stephen tells his son to go watch Charlie Brown, to which Billy yells, "Charlie Brown's an asshole." Couldn't agree more, Billy. We get a little bit more fun with this as Stephen keeps getting interrupted by his kid, and then a dog starts barking at Wilkins. So Wilkins proceeds to cut off a finger and chuck it at the dog. Now, I may not be really good at, I may not be the best person at figuring out how to not get caught for murder, but I'm pretty sure cutting off a kid's finger and throwing it to a dog is kind of throwing evidence into the next yard, which might not be completely disposed of by the dog. But then we see Krieg, played by Brian Cox, come outside looking for his dog Spike. Wilkins tries to lay down to the grave, but his first body kicks back to life. And William starts stomping the shit out of the kid while trying to kind of assuage Krieg to let him know that everything's okay. And the kid grabs Wilkins, and Wilkins slams him a couple more times. Krieg goes back inside, and then Billy yells that his dad needs to help him with the eyes of the jack-o'-lantern. And Stephen says, "Yes, of course I will." And Billy then, continues to kind of keep pestering him and pestering him. Finally, he leaves, and Stephen finally is able to kill the kid for good. Wilkins then plays every parent by mocking his son for being needy, saying things like, "Oh, you got back and trick-or-treating. Oh, I wish Mommy was still alive." Which, of course, begs a question on if Stephen killed his wife. We see Krieg pounding on the window and calling out for Wilkins, but then he gets tackled by something as Wilkins goes inside. Billy then scares his dad with a mask over his head, and then it seems as if Wilkins wants to kill his kid. Wilkins has already killed two kids, but he grabs a knife to hide behind his back, and they go downstairs. And Wilkins kind of hangs back while his kid runs up and starts pounding on the table a little bit, and then grabbing a candle, and Wilkins lays his hand on top of Billy's head, holds up the knife, and then stabs into, not his son, but instead, Charlie's head. Charlie's head is on a turntable, and Billy says, "You have to help me with the eyes." This is a great fucking scene, because the first time I watched this, you legitimately think you're going to watch this guy kill his kid. And instead, you find out, nope, he's actually training his kid to be a fucking serial killer. That is nuts. And really well done, because, the acting here by Dylan Baker was great. The little kid does a great job, too. He's creepy. And then, obviously, the reveal was really cool as well, too. And the effects in this movie are great. So our previous three trick-or-treaters make it over to Mrs. Henderson's house. Mrs. Henderson is a drunk older lady in a slutty outfit who kind of shakes her ass at Chip, and he appears to be having a swingers party. They ask for a jack-o'-lantern, but they get kind of brushed off. And Chip says that Coach Taylor was in a hot dog costume, but fucking a pig. Interesting. A kid in a skull mask rolls up with three jack-o'-lanterns in a shopping cart. And the four kids roll up to a house with about 40 different jack-o'-lanterns all in the front yard. And Chip asks if this is where Rhonda the Retard lives. And Marcy, who later seems like kind of a bitch, says she's not a retard, she's an idiot savant. It's a little odd for her to be defending Rhonda here in a little bit. But Schrader, the kid in the skull mask, is tasked with, I guess, seducing Rhonda into helping with their little plan here. We cut to a hooded and masked figure making out with a woman in an alley. And the figure licks her face and kind of kisses her at a couple different places. And he backs off, and she sees that she has been bit three or four different times by this figure. The figure, who has teeth like a vampire, then proceeds to give chase. And of course nobody can hear this chick screaming because there is a band and a parade going down the street. She falls down to the ground and then grabs onto Emily, thus putting this scene obviously earlier in our timeline. Henry then tells her to move along because they think that she's just in costume, because there is, of course, a bunch of kids near her with bloody makeup on. The figure grabs her and then proceeds to leave her dead body outside of a barbershop. And we see a random Peyton Manning jersey in the crowd. Cut back over to the kids, and Chip asks Rhonda how much she loves Halloween. And Rhonda kind of goes on explaining the origins of Halloween and about a lot of the different cool things about it, and I would totally be friends with Rhonda. She seemed like a cool chick. The kids make it to the rock quarry. Macy says they need to pay their respects to the dead, and she will do this by having the eight jack-o'-lanterns that she have represent the eight people who died in the Halloween school bus massacre. And Macy proves that she has a flair for storytelling. She tells a story of a bus full of troubled and disturbed kids, eight of them to be exact. They are on a short bus, and we see a bus driver who is driving them on his normal route. And all of the kids are actually chained to the bus, which is very interesting. This is all we really get about the kids here, is that they're troubled and disturbed. Clearly a little mentally challenged on some of them, but yeah, this was interesting. So we see one of the kids in a vampire mask is saying some numbers over and over again. Then as soon as the bus driver takes a different turn, he starts saying, "Wrong way, wrong way." They pass by Sam, who is picking up a dead raven for some reason. Then the bus driver floors it and drives to the bus to the edge of the rock quarry. And Marcy explains to us that the parents of these kids were sick of hiding their dirty little secrets and paid the bus driver off to get rid of them. So we see that all the kids are chained to the bus as the driver starts to pass out candy to each of the kids. He tests all the restraints on all the kids, clearly with a plan to make them drowned. The vampire kid manages to slip out of his restraints, though, and he tries to start the bus up. The bus driver realizes this and starts running towards the front of the bus, but is tripped by one of the kids, and deservedly so. The bus then goes over the edge and into the quarry. We see the masks of the kids float to the surface, but sadly the bus driver has survived this accident, although Marcy tells us he is never seen again. So, Marcy and the rest of the kids grab the jack-o'-lanterns and start to board the lift, but Marcy closes the door before Rhonda and Chip can get on board, and they descend into the quarry. Cut over and Lori gets a call from her sister. And then Lori sees the hooded figure. And Lori's sister says there is a nice young gentleman who wants to meet her, but it's a fat dude in a baby costume. The kids hear howling, and Rhonda guesses it's werewolves. Rhonda and Chip start to go down into the quarry. They hear the other three kids screaming, as a bunch of different dialogue happens here, and then we see three jack-o'-lanterns each blow out in succession. Chip calls for Macy, Schrader, and Sarah, and Rhonda opens the door to the lift. Chip is too afraid to go out, and she tells him to not let the candles go out because it'll protect him. Rhonda walks to the edge of the quarry and sees a school bus partially submerged in the water. So that story, 100% real. She sees a few masks floating in the water. As she reaches out for one, something grabs her leg. She screams and runs away as we see that there is a zombie eating Chip. I don't know how he got out of the lift, but he did. Complete with terrible fake intestines. And there are two other zombies chasing after her. Rhonda falls down, as most horror women are like to do, and loses her glasses. One of the zombies steps on her glasses. She then trips and falls again, this time cracking her head against a rock. And the zombies all stop. They take off their masks to reveal that it is Schrader, Macy, and Sarah, as Chip walks up, covered in fake blood. Rhonda wakes up and slugs Sarah in the fucking face. Schrader then comforts Rhonda, and Marcy doesn't want to have anything to do with this. She also doesn't want to leave, because she's kind of a bitch, and then proceeds to kick a pumpkin into the water. Chip then asks how the bus got there, and Macy says, oh yeah, that part of the story is real. But they're interrupted as they start to hear whispers. We cut over to Rhonda and Schrader as we hear Sarah, Chip, and Macy scream. Rhonda gets up, and then Schrader runs after them. He proceeds to bump into Macy, and the kids hear more whispers as eight zombie figures come out of the water. They proceed to grab Sarah by the chains and drag her to her death, as we do in fact hear her getting eaten alive. The three other make it back, but Rhonda has locked the lift gate. They beg her to let them in, saying that this is not a joke, but Rhonda instead starts the lift. She leaves the three of them to be eaten by actual zombies, and even waves goodbye to them. We hear the kids getting eaten as Rhonda walks away. Sam walks up to her, but then they just kind of pass each other in the night. So again, you know, here's another figure who obviously respects Halloween, and Sam just apparently were there to just watch the carnage happen, and to obviously, you know, allow these zombie kids to get revenge on these three kids who played a bad prank on Rhonda. He's just cool with it. So, I guess a little bit more into him there is that, you know, again, he will let you live as long as you respect the Halloween traditions, and as long as you're not a complete asshole, I guess. He seems to let other people do his dirty work at times, because he's obviously letting the zombie kids do his work here. We cut over and Lori is walking through the forest, complete with her Red Riding Hood outfit, and she hears someone in the forest. Then the hooded figure jump scares her. Lori's sister is worried about her, as we cut over to see the hooded figure bite Lori in the neck. We hear screaming, and a body is dropped into the middle of the clearing where Lori's sister is, and is wrapped in Lori's costume. Her sister walks over, pulls back the hood to reveal the hooded figure. He starts to beg for help. Lori walks into the clearing, and she says to her sister that she was just playing hard to get, like the other two told her. And that, of course, that the hooded figure bit her. Maria opens the figure's mouth to reveal his teeth are fake, and then she pulls off the mask to reveal that it is Stephen Wilkins. So, I'm going to pause here for a second, because we have Stephen Wilkins. Now, clearly this part of the story takes place very late in it, because Wilkins is a part of pretty much every other story at this point. The other thing is that he clearly is a serial killer, but he has two very different MOs, because one of them is apparently killing kids via chocolate poison and burying them in the backyard. But then he also kills the woman by biting her and, I guess, draining her blood, and then leaving her out in the open. So, one, he's trying to hide bodies. The other, just leaving it there. So, kind of weird to pin down, and I don't know if this is the first time he's killed people. It doesn't seem that way. But if this is, like, that's weird to have such vastly different MOs for his killings. But Wilkins notices that everyone else at the party is dead, and only the women remain. Wilkins reveals that he had his leg broken during the fall, complete with bones sticking out of his leg. Marilyn Manson's Sweet Dreams Are Made of These plays as Laurie straddles Wilkins. She says it was her first time, and all the women begin to dance. They then start to strip off their clothes, and we see one of them growl and bear giant teeth. Somebody cuts Laurie's sister's back, and we see her skin get torn off, revealing full-on werewolf underneath it. Another woman gets her shirt ripped off. We see her breast for a second. And then all the rest of the women start to slough off skin to reveal that they are hairy, fucking scary werewolves. The now full-on werewolves start to eat the other dead partygoers as Laurie bites into Wilkins. And we see that Sam is sitting beside the fire. So here, he just likes to watch the carnage, I guess. And obviously has no problem with the actual werewolves in this fucking movie. So now we get a little bit more of the timeline here, where obviously this is the end of Wilkins' story, and this is where the girls come in. So we know obviously that all of Wilkins' story takes place before this. So this was his hot date that he had, that he was trying to blow his son off with. I'm not sure when he kills the woman during this, but it's got to be when he's out, because we saw Thurman Werman walking through town and he passed by Wilkins, and that probably was when Wilkins was either on his way to the store or on his way to kill that other chick. So now we cut to the earliest moment of our movie, as some trick-or-treaters walk up to Krieg's house. Krieg opens the door, and his dog, Spike, runs him off. He has equipped his dog, Spike, with a mask with glowing yellow eyes, because this dog is not that scary. And that's enough to scare the kids off, and Krieg grabs the kids' candy bags before coming back inside. We see that he's burning a bunch of pictures in his fireplace. More on that later. He starts to watch infomercials while eating the kids' candy. Of course, because he's a crotchety old bastard, he washes it down with some booze. We see that this does in fact take place in our first of our timeline, as Krieg is watching the news report from before. Spike starts barking as the gate is now open and slamming against itself. Krieg looks out the window, and then someone throws an egg at his house, which of course makes him go and grab a baseball bat. That's the appropriate response. Krieg heads outside to call for Spike, who is eating the finger that Wilkins tossed to him. And Krieg calls out to Wilkins, and we have the same interaction, but this time from Krieg's point of view as before, as obviously Krieg is calling out that Wilkins is hiding bodies, but Wilkins is really hiding bodies. And we see that Sam is also watching this interaction, so he's apparently been outside of this house for quite a while. Krieg makes it back inside, and Spike starts to bark at the front door now. Krieg walks outside to see a shit ton of jack-o'-lanterns have been placed on his front lawn. Now, these are not the ones from Rhonda's house. These are completely different ones. Spike runs upstairs as Krieg grabs his shotgun. We hear that Spike yelps out in pain as Krieg makes it upstairs. Krieg then slowly opens the bedroom door, and he sees that something is moving under the covers. At this point, I thought we were getting Dead Dog. We don't get Dead Dog, though, as he pulls it back to see that it is just a fake Halloween prop hand moving. A jack-o'-lantern next to his bed flames up, and we see that someone has written "Trick or Treat, Give Me Something Good to Eat" all over the walls in blood red. Krieg then gets his Achilles tendon cut by Sam. Sam stands over Krieg and shows him that his candy bar has a razor blade inside of it. Krieg fires and hits a jack-o'-lantern as Sam has disappeared. He hobbles his way down the stairs and then proceeds to slip and fall down the stairs as a bunch of candy has been littered about it. And of course, just for extra measure, there's a bunch of broken glass thrown in with the rest of it, which cuts the shit out of Krieg's hands. Krieg tries to unlock his front door, which has about 13 chain locks on it, but of course his hands are all fucked up. So he's a lot of trouble as we see over his shoulder, Sam is crawling across the fucking ceiling. He laughs and then drops on top of Krieg. So here he starts to slap and kind of punch Krieg before Krieg finally shakes him off. And then we see Krieg call out to Wilkins from the window and then get tackled by Sam. So awesome job by having these two scenes run parallel to each other and getting part of this action from Wilkins' side, which you don't really know what's going on over there with Krieg. And then obviously the payoff of showing it from what's going on with Krieg and the fact that at any point in time here, Wilkins could have actually saved Krieg's life. Sam gets his mask torn off to reveal that he is a literal pumpkin head. And this is probably what I feel is the only misstep of the movie. I would have much rather had Sam stay with the mask on the entire time and let it be more of a question on what he actually is under there. But instead, yeah, it's got the head of a pumpkin. It's got a crazy fucking face on it. I'll probably throw the picture up as the cover art for this episode, just in case you don't watch the movie, but like I said, please do. Sam bites Krieg in the leg, and then, again, another comical aspect of this is that Sam's biting him, and then he literally goes, huh? And he looks up, and there's the shotgun in his face, and he gets half of his fucking face blown off. Krieg reloads, and then blows a hole in Sam's chest, and then blows off his hand. Krieg runs over and grabs the phone. His hands are now apparently just fine, and calls 911. But we see the cord get pulled out of the wall before Krieg can call for help. But Sam is still sitting exactly the same place he was. That's because his severed hand did it. And then that severed hand stabs Krieg in the leg. The hand retreats back to Sam, back away from him. And then we see it slide across the floor again, now this time carrying Sam's mask. Sam proceeds to wake back up, and the hand magically reattaches itself. I'm not sure how he did this. Sam puts his mask back on and pulls out the pumpkin sucker. He bites into a sharp crescent, which he will later use to kill Emily. Krieg gets his wrist broken while trying to stab Sam with a broken bottle. Sam stands down into Krieg's chest, but instead of hitting Krieg, he stabs the candy bar that fell onto Krieg's chest. He picks it up, sniffs it, and eats it. And since Sam is satisfied that he got something good to eat, he proceeds to leave. Just like that. We then cut to Krieg's fireplace, where we see that one of the pictures he's burning is of a young Krieg as a school bus driver with the 8 troubled youths that he killed. So, nice little reveal there. Although, you can kind of maybe see it coming with the fact that we knew he was alive and that all the rest of these stories have kind of interlocked with each other. We see a sentence says later as 3 little pigs knock on Krieg's door. He gives them handfuls of candy, although he does not seem very happy about it. Krieg walks back inside and we see that Billy is handing out candy on his father's doorstep wearing his father's shirt. So at this point, obviously we know that Wilkins is dead. And that's kind of a bummer, because now Billy's an orphan, and there's dead bodies all over that house. We see Rhonda arrive and almost get killed by Lori and her pack, so that was a nice little throwback to that, to the beginning of our movie here. And then we see Sam watching Krieg before he turns his attention to Em and Henry. Sam looks down at his sucker and goes to work. So, bringing it full circle right there, to show the beginning of the movie was actually the end of the movie. There's a knock at Krieg's door, and he opens it to see the 8 dead kids. The kid in the vampire mask says, "Trick or treat," and roll credits as Krieg screams. So there we have it. That is the end of Trick or Treat. Like I said, a movie that I personally love. It was a movie I was completely surprised by. I've always been a really big fan of anthologies, and I love anthologies even more when they do things like this, where each of the stories have kind of a connecting tissue through them. You know, you've got Sam as your main connecting tissue, as he's just kind of being the observer through most of the stuff, and then obviously interacting with both Emily and Krieg as well. But also you got the other connective tissue of, you know, Wilkins being the one that becomes Lori's first, Lori and her gang almost running over Rhonda. Obviously, you know, Rhonda and her little gang joining or knocking on the door of Wilkins, as well as Krieg's house too. So really cool to have kind of all these little Easter eggs throughout each of the different stories to each other, as well as just telling a really cohesive story and each one of the stories being really interesting in and of itself too. So all in all, I would still say that in terms of my favorite story of each one of these, if they didn't have the comical aspects of the Krieg-Sam encounter, I think that would probably be a little bit better just because of the fact that Sam is a really cool character. And like I said, if they wouldn't have taken the mask off as well. But I would say probably my favorite segment of this has got to be Lori and the women, because I thought that was such a really, really cool way to kind of turn that cliche on its head, making you think, oh, it's just, you know, a bunch of people, you know, trying to get their friend to have their first time. But it's not that she hasn't had sex. It's that she hasn't turned yet and obviously hasn't had her first kill as well. So really cool that they did it like that. And there are a couple of things that if you rewatch the movie again, they throw a couple of little hints to this, you know, her sister saying that she was always the runt of the litter, and there's a lot of different call-outs to it. And obviously, I mean, you've got Rhonda flat out says werewolves when they hear howling. So all in all, really great movie. Good movie to make a tradition of watching on Halloween, because obviously it's all about it. If you're not going to just, you know, watch a Michael Myers movie, that is. So with that, I think we're going to go ahead and close the book on this one. Make sure you have yourself a great Halloween. Get out there and watch some horror movies as well. And I'll be back later with something else.